Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Tween and a Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you for joining me today. In Nerd Tween news, in something that we all probably saw coming, the comic that was created and co-written by Keanu Reeves, Berserker, will be getting a live-action adaptation as well as an anime spinoff. Netflix has optioned the Boom Studios indie comic Berserker. Netflix will be adapting the comic book into a live-action movie starring Keanu Reeves. He will also help produce the film. Ross Ritchie, CEO of Boom Studios, and Stephen Christie will also join the production team. The animated series will also star Reeves as a voice actor and will explore the Berserker universe. Considering the fact that the main character, B, is an immortal warrior who has been fighting for over 80,000 years, there seems to be nearly unlimited possibilities to where the anime could go. The man only known as B is a half-mortal, half-god, cursed and compelled to violence, even at the sacrifice of his sanity. The comic is fantastic for me. It read very much like a movie. I could literally hear Keanu Reeves' voiceover in my head as I was reading it. If you want a more in-depth review of the comic, check out Nerd Tween Comic Reviews, hashtag Nerd Tween Comic Reviews on Instagram. Disney Studios has announced that the much-anticipated Black Widow movie will be pushed back to July 9th and will also stream on Disney Plus with Premier Access. That also means that Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings is going to be pushed back to September on my birthday, actually. The film will be $30 on Disney Plus, and if it follows the other Premier Access content thus far, it will let you rewatch it as many times as you want. I honestly will be watching it on Disney Plus, that's for sure. The rewatchability just makes it, without question, the most bang for my buck. I'm not saying that I won't eventually see it in theaters as well, given the fact that I will probably have the vaccine within the next few month or so, at the longest. So it would be safe for me to go, but while enjoying the theater is great, for someone like me to be able to watch it from my own home, as many times as I want, that is just something that I would not pass up in the slightest bit. Moving on, in DC news, the legendary actress Helen Mirren has been cast as Hespera, daughter of Atlas, in the upcoming Shazam sequel, Shazam and the Fury of the Gods. The character does not seem to have any real comic ties from what I have found. She is a great actress, so this only gets me more excited about this upcoming film. It has been pushed back to release on June 2nd, 2023. Now for some bad news. According to quotes from the CEO of Warner Media, Ann Sarnoff, the Snyderverse has come to an end, even though the movie ends on a cliffhanger and the overwhelming fan support. She said this about the Snyder Cut and future of the Snyderverse. "I appreciate that they love Zack's work, and we are very thankful for his many contributions to DC. We're just so happy that he could bring his cut of the Justice League to life, because that wasn't the plan until about a year ago. With that comes the completion of his trilogy. We're very happy we've done this, but we're very excited about the plans we have for the multidimensional DC characters that are being developed right now." I think we all know what happened next. The fans readied the armadas and began tweeting "Restore the Snyderverse," hashtag Restore the Snyderverse. It had over 1.4 million tweets in under 24 hours, which surpassed the hashtag Avengers Endgame, as well as Release the Snyderverse. I feel like this is a game that Warner Brothers is trying to play, like saying that we need to give up on the Snyder Cut only to release it to such wide success that it literally crashed the HBO servers because so many people were trying to watch it. It even beat out Falcon and the Winter Soldier for the most streams. I think they may have poked a hornet's nest this time a little bit. Fans are now reviewing Godzilla vs. Kong with one star reviews and using the comment section to voice their displeasure, doing like hashtag Restore the Snyderverse, and some even threatening to boycott Warner Brothers Productions until they get what they want. Now, that part of the movement I don't support at all. I'm definitely 100% in support of Restore the Snyderverse. I've been making images and tweeting and posting them on Instagram as much as I can, but this
trashing of a different film is not something that I would support. I have to admit that there are many things wrong with that, in my opinion. Like, the team that brought together, like, the creators and the actors of Godzilla vs. Kong now are going to see these reviews, and all that does is hurt other movies. I don't think it's smart for people to go out of their way to bash another film. And I don't think it's going to be anywhere near close to the end result that anyone would be hoping for who's doing this kind of this kind of campaign. I feel like if we just keep persistently tweeting it and posting it and just to the point where they can't ignore it, I feel like they will end up caving and giving us what we want, even if it's not a part of the quote-unquote new continuity, the multi-dimensional characters that they're bringing to light here. I believe that it could be its own thing in the multiverse. We've already seen that they are willing to cross over all of their properties in the Crisis for Infinite Earths, or whatever they called it on the Flash, in the Flash and Arrow universe. They had even the actresses from Birds of Prey, that a show that came out many years ago. They had people showing up from all over the DC multiverse, including the Titans, including the like Stargirl and all these other people. They're all there in the Flash crossover that they had, where Ezra Miller showed up on the Flash and was speaking to Grant to the Flash of the show. So why can they not have this be another alternate Earth? I don't see how not doing it is going to do anything to help. If the fans want something, don't you think they'd pay for it? Don't you think they would support it, as they are showing already breaking records for the most tweets of that, trying to get that out? So I understand you have this idea that they want to go a different route, and they by all means can. I mean, I'm very much looking forward to the Matt Reeves Batman with Pattinson as Batman. He has nothing to do with the Snyderverse. I have no problem with there being multiple stories and different. I mean, they've shown there is the multiverse. So what's the problem? You can make things, and that's one thing that the DC extended universe on in the movie side has that as of right now. I mean, we may see that change moving forward with the Multiverse of Madness and things like that, but right now there's really only one universe in the MCU that has been confirmed. I mean, you could say the Quantumverse is its own universe, fair enough, I'll give you that, but in aspects of alternate Earths, there has not been a confirmation of that as of yet. They hinted at it and teased at it in Spider-Man Far From Home, but it turns out that he wasn't actually from an alternate Earth. So while I've postulated and said that after Multiverse of Madness, that will change, I have no doubt in my mind about that. But as of right now, DC hasn't established multiverse. So why not work on the properties you want to do and also do the Snyderverse. All that does is give you more properties to sell. I don't understand how this is even up for debate. Like, I get it. You don't want to bend to the will of the fans and give them the Snyderverse because you want to do your own thing. Fine. You've already established that that's possible in your current setup. So why? Why fight that? I mean, that's just my take on it. And, you know, obviously I'm not a CEO of a studio or especially of Warner Brothers, so they can do whatever the hell they want. I just don't understand why you wouldn't make something that people will buy, that they're obviously showing that they will buy. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm sure the HBO Max subscription skyrocketed prior to the release of the Snyder Cut. I might be wrong, but I have a hard time believing that, considering it beat out Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which beat out WandaVision, and WandaVision beat everything else out. So you're obviously seeing that this content is what the fans want. So why not give that? That would be like if the MCU decided that after Loki, they weren't going to do any more television shows, even though they've already confirmed and set up these other shows. That's what we're looking at with the Warner Brothers CEOs doing things like this. I don't understand it. But again, like I said, that's why I'm not in power, I guess. But that's all I have for the Nerdtween news. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back with some Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You ever struggle to get something done? You ever feel like you need more energy? I know I do. Up late trying to get these podcast episodes going. I need energy, so I go for a Raise Energy. Go on to the Raise Energy website and use my specific code, Nerdtween, to get 15% discount for all of my listeners. Welcome back. So obviously, since I warned you before the break that we're going to be talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I feel like it's obvious that I'm going to be going into some spoiler territory if you have not already seen the episode. So go ahead and back out now. I will not hold it against you, but there are definitely going to be spoilers coming up because I'm going to dive deep into this newest episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, The Man with a Plan. So starting off, we have a nice little backstory to the quote-unquote new Captain America, John Walker, played by Wyatt Russell. From what I've read, his first ever audition was actually for Captain America. So I love how that is like a callback to his origins as an actor, because we all know that he has a very famous father who appeared as Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. But it's nice that he didn't get Captain America, but he did get the new Captain America. I do love how the response to his character in the MCU is a lot like it was when the character was actually, done in the comics. He's just an amazing soldier who is just trying to do the right thing, and he is getting a lot of flack because, I mean, he's obviously not Steve Rogers. In the comics, he had a kind of different backstory where he was first his own character, his like own person. So he then became Captain America later. Instead, in the MCU, they're introducing him as Captain America to start. We're also introduced to his partner, Lamar Hoskins, a.k.a. Battlestar. He had an interesting line to John before he appeared on the show Good Morning America in the costume. He said, "The costume is something different. You can't just punch your way out of things anymore," which is funny because that's exactly what Black Widow said to Captain America in Captain America Civil War. "Steve, do you really want to punch your way out of this one?" Which is pretty funny to me that there's now it's like, that's not what Steve would do when that's actually what Steve probably would have done. When Bucky was watching that, you can really tell what set him off was when he said that Steve was like his brother. And that was just something that Bucky himself, who really was more like a brother to him, could not stand with. The show is leaning very heavy into the pain of regret on past mistakes. Both Bucky and Sam have mistakes in their past that are affecting the way they're living right now. You got Bucky trying to make amends and righting his wrongs, or Sam fighting the guilt for his sister's situation and returning the shield, giving the opportunity for the government to decide to pass it on to someone else. The funny line they had about the big three, androids, aliens, or wizards. That line about Gandalf really got me too, because like, he's like, "How do you know about Gandalf?" "Well, I read The Hobbit when it came out, originally." And you know, the acting, again, is just so amazing. At building off of what WandaVision did with the amazing cast doing fantastic work, you got Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie just like delivering these amazing jokes left and right. It's a complete different tone than WandaVision, but it's another talented performance that these two great actors are delivering. I'm really truly enjoying it. And, you know, these shows have given them the opportunity to develop backstory for multiple characters besides the main characters of the show or movie, like the movies never really could, because they are setting up things, and the way the episodic delivery system is, you can't give too much out, so you're building up the story just to continue it and make it flow right. This gives you the chance to dive deeper into characters. That great line too, a sorcerer is just a wizard without a hat. Yep, that's I actually talked to the Dungeon Master about that, and he's like, well, it's not that far off, really. This buddy cop dynamic is just great. Sam knew Bucky would have to jump without a chute, and he still just jumped out, didn't even warn him. And it was very reminiscent to Steve jumping out of the plane in Captain America Winter Soldier. Granted, he was diving into water, but he just jumped out without a parachute. It's very nice homage to that, to his first appearance. It was actually in that, as Winter Soldier was in that movie. I have all that on camera, you know. Excuse me. When he said that, I totally expected Bucky to be like, delete that footage now, just like T'Challa did in Shuri's lab. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman, by the way. Yeah, that's just sad. Sam's line about Bucky's time in Wakanda, spend a little time in Wakanda and you come out like the White Panther. During his time, obviously, like they, T'Challa definitely called him the White Wolf. So Disney Plus had to actually adjust their, ratings for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier moving forward, because it is definitely, and I said this in last week's episode, that it's going to hit way too close to home for a lot of people. In this episode, the Flag Smashers are actually stealing a vaccine. The production title for the show was, I think, Pandemic. So it was something about to do with the pandemic. And this was done, this was decided prior to the actual pandemic happening. So this, like I said, this show is a very necessary show right now for many reasons, because it's going to dive into what happens during a pandemic and the paranoia behind it, I feel. And also the heavy racial unrest and injustice that we have in the world, but predominantly in America right now. We'll talk about that a little bit more later in the show. The Flag Smashers are all super soldiers. How they got their abilities is still unknown so far. But I have a feeling that it has like some shady connection to the Weapon X program. It just definitely has a covert ops, not supposed to be on record feel for me. And that's very much what the Weapon X program is. And then I'm gonna say, take a moment of silence. Rest in peace, Red Wing. Moving on. The new Captain America and Battlestar show up to assist Sam and Bucky. For what it's worth, John Walker was using the shield to perfection. He definitely may not be a super soldier with the, you know, the abilities of one, but he is a super soldier in the fact that he is just a very skilled everything. I mean, they said he won the Medal of Honor numerous times. He tested off the charts and everything, including intelligence. And so that's definitely, he definitely did very well, even using it to save Hoskins' life, perfectly throwing it to where it would safely land underneath his friend before he hit the pavement. Of course, the bad guys do get away. Even with Walker being basically the best soldier ever, he could not match up to super soldiers. Walker is definitely just trying to do his best. He admits that he was tracking Sam using Red Wing, and it wasn't like he hacked or anything, because it's government property. And then that right there feels a lot like Captain America Civil War, where they took his stuff and said, it's actually government property. And then I like how once Hoskins said his name was Battlestar, Bucky was like, nope, stop the car. That's it. I'm done. I'm not doing this. Nope. Because that is a kind of crazy name right there. So, in you know, the Flag Smashers, they obviously don't see themselves as villains. They're showing that there's overwhelming support from the common people. The leader, Carly Morgenthau, gets a text from an unknown number, says, you took what was mine. I'm going to find you and kill you. I think that's the person that they're running from later in the episode. I'm actually drawing a blank on what he called them, but I'm telling you, I have a feeling that that's Thaddeus Ross. Is that his name? Why I can't think of his name all of a sudden. The guy who becomes Red Hulk. Why am I losing my mind? In the comics, back to the show. In the comics, Flag Smasher was actually one person named Anti-Patriot, with his name being Carl Morgenthau. So obviously that's where they get the Carly from. Bucky said he wanted to steal the shield. He had it in his hand for a second there when they were fighting against the Flag Smashers. And then Sam had to remind him of the consequences of when they did that last time during the events of Captain America Civil War that led all the way up to them being on the run during Infinity War. When Sam and Buck make it to Baltimore to meet someone, a kid calls him the Black Falcon. Sam corrects him, saying, it's just Falcon. The kid responds, well, my dad calls you Black Falcon. And this is an accurate representation of how in real life things parents say and do get imprinted on their kids. And then he hits him with the, why? Because I'm black? Does that make you black kid? I mean, so, you know, that's something that is definitely prevalent in today's society. And like I said, that's something that this show is going to hit on a lot. That's going to hit too close to home for a lot of people. And for me, Sam's reaction and his interactions with all of the regular people has been, for me, the greatest reason why he should be Captain America. He treats them like he's one of them because he very much is. I mean, you got Bucky, he may be a super soldier and Steve's best friend, and John Walker might be the perfect soldier, but Sam is a true Captain America in the MCU because is that symbol for the people. He is just like them. So for me, he definitely is the MCU's Captain America right now. This episode did raise so many questions for me about the past of the MCU. When you introduce Isaiah Bradley in the comics, he was one of 300 African-American soldiers that were forced to be test subjects at Camp Cathcart during Project Rebirth, which was an attempt to recreate the super soldier serum. Isaiah was the only survivor and took up the mantle of Black Captain America. He went to go fight in World War II and was branded a traitor in the process and sentenced to life in prison, only to get out 17 years later. In the MCU, though, he meets Bucky in 1951 in Goyang, which would place their fight during the Korean War. Bucky said he was one that Hydra feared like Steve, a reference, I think, to the comic origins. In the MCU, Isaiah was locked up for 30 years. Another member of the Young Avengers has arrived, Elijah Bradley, grandson of Isaiah. In the comics, he is known as Patriot. He gets a blood transfusion from his grandfather, and that gives him the abilities of the Super Soldier Serum. Again, another member of the Young Avengers, slowly being sprinkled into the MCU. Sam is justifiably pissed off when he finds out that there was a black superhero that nobody knows about, especially him, which is very similar to the comic book character being relatively unknown by the people inside the Marvel Universe. The racial unrest and bad relationships with police was touched on in this episode. The cops walk up on Sam while he's arguing with Bucky and asking for an ID and acting like he's a criminal, until his partner points out that they're Avengers, then everything changed. The MCU is now beginning to be a lot more like the comic books, where they are a representation, like in the comics, the mutants are a representation of the civil rights movement. The mutants were minorities during that time. Professor X and Magneto were famously designed after Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, respectively. And the MCU is now morphing into something that can tackle issues of the current time and not just be superhero movies. And I keep saying this series is going to hit way too close to home to a lot of people. And I think that's going to be something that is going to be great moving forward. Bucky gets arrested due to missing his therapy session, which is part of rules of the conditions of his pardon. We finally get to see that full scene that we've seen in the trailers. I feel like after that therapy session, they really did have an understanding of each other and are really going to be able to work as a team moving forward, and not have any issues. They're still going to have that witty banter, you know, the back and forth that they always have, but I don't think it's going to be have an underlying note of hatred to it. I think they have a more of a mutual respect moving forward. And then, of course, Walker gets Bucky out, saying that he's too valuable of an asset to have tied up, and that just he'll just take care of it. And then they have a little confrontation. Bucky and Sam still decide to do their own thing because they don't have restrictions or protocols, and Walker warns them to stay out of his way. The duo agrees that they need to go see Zemo, the villain that brought down the Avengers from the inside, dismantling them, and could be considered the reason why Thanos won. It is possible that if the Avengers fought together as one when Thanos came to Wakanda for the Mind Stone, they probably could have defeated him. I definitely think so, especially if you include the fact that that would also include at this time Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, probably the Guardians of the Galaxy, and Iron Man. So that being said, I definitely think this show is moving in a really, really good direction. I hope that people continue to watch it and it continues to get all these great ratings and people don't give up on it. I've seen a couple of people that said that they're not as into it as they were for like WandaVision. And I just keep hoping that they just keep with it because it's just the beginning. There's a lot of stuff that we haven't even started thinking about yet. Because initially they said that the trailers were just basically the first episode. Looks like it was actually the first and second episodes. Because we saw some of the fight scenes and stuff like that early on in the trailer process. Moving forward, we haven't even got to Madripoor yet. And just the fact that Madripoor is here is just so exciting because Madripoor is a real, like, mutant hot zone. In the comics, it's like this mecca for mutants world round. It's one of the places that, like, it's just such a key place in the MCU, the comic books, that was the first place that Wolverine became known as Patch. And I had one theory that I really think that if there's going to be any like reference to the X-Men or anything like that, it's going to be while they're in Madripoor. And I feel like the Weapon X program or maybe even the name Patch. Like, I feel like they could, like, walk into a bar, like, they have to go meet someone, and they go walk to the bar and say, hey, I'm looking for this guy who always wears a white suit, and I heard he might have an eye patch or something like that. And they go, I don't know about Patch. He hasn't been here in a while or something like that. They could do something so simple like that and do a nod to Wolverine's existence, and we'll go apeshit. Like, think about when they name drop Scarlet Witch. We all knew she was Scarlet Witch. We've been calling her Scarlet Witch since she got there, but they couldn't due to copyright law because that was technically owned by Fox. So they went a different route. They didn't even have her as a mutant technically. I mean, maybe now we can consider her a mutant because of the powers that she's had, or maybe she's just a witch. I mean, there's a lot of things that are still yet to be confirmed moving forward about mutants and stuff in the MCU, even though that we know they're coming, we don't know where they're going to start and whether they're going to retcon that they actually did start. But WandaVision was great, but Falcon and Winter Soldier is just fantastic. And it's just great acting all around. They're the great connection to the connecting tissue of the MCU moving forward and in the past as well. I definitely think this is a good thing that's going to just keep getting better. And so that's all I have for you this week. I was supposed to have an interview Sunday morning with a comic book artist for the Star Wars High Republic Adventures, but we had a scheduling conflict. That's one of the crazy things about working with people all over the world is that my 8 a.m. is his 8 p.m., and that's when he was available. So I scheduled for 8 a.m., and I think we had some confusion on the dates. So we're going to have to reschedule, and that will definitely be something that we hear soon. I will also hopefully be interviewing some people from DC or Warner Brothers moving forward, or hopefully by the end of the summer, maybe the CEO of Boom Studios. I'm working on a lot of things behind the scenes. I do want to say that I will be taking a break next week. There will be no new content from Nerd Tween and Movie Podcast. I'm going to take the week and the weekend to really break down everything that I have so far and kind of revamp a few things and try to get as much content streamlined to you guys as possible. I'm going to be working on looking at all the stuff I've already said and, you know, doing transcripts of them and posting that stuff on Instagram so you can see the quotes that I've had from interviews. I mean, like, I just interviewed Darsan Solomon from the hit show Community. I've interviewed comic book creators like Jason Douglas and talked about comics like Advanced Genetics and all this stuff moving forward. I really hope to bring you more amazing content. I've got a lot of things lined up, but next week we are going to take a quick break so we can just really make everything as much as amazing as we can for you guys. In the meantime, if you want, you can definitely follow my Instagram accounts for all your Marvel specifically content. You can go Marvel2K21 on Instagram if you're looking for multi-fandom content, Nerdpool Reborn, Community, 6 seasons and a Netflix movie. Then, of course, Nerd Tween and Movie Podcast with a underscore in between each word. Or you can subscribe to the YouTube channel or look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. If you need to find us, literally just type Nerd T on just about any platform and you'll find us there, hopefully soon on iTunes as well. Thank you again for joining me this week. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Stay safe, stay nerdy, and may the Force be with you.